pretty simple. I can't do very well writing and talking at the same time, so that's why I can't talk and write on the board. So I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about being effort-oriented versus goal-oriented. Effort is something that I feel like is very vital and crucial in our lives. And if you've heard me speak very often or at all, you probably have heard me use a verse over here in Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite ones, to read to people and to try to motivate us all to be more enthusiastic about life and what we're engaged in. It's Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So my inspiration with that verse is that we would be motivated to engage wholeheartedly, to be willing to put effort into the things that we set out to do. There's a word lackadaisical, and that basically means that you're sloughing off. It means you're not applying yourself. And Ecclesiastes, the writer here, says, whatever your hand finds to do. We have a young man at our place of work that works for us part-time, and really, he probably can accomplish more in 20 hours than a lot of people can in 40 because he's very enthusiastic. We've had a part-time young man come in once before, a number of years ago, and he could set out to sweep the work area with a push broom, and it was like we had to chalk him to see if he was moving. You know, put a mark around him to see if he got out of the box or something. And this young man that we have now, he comes in and it's like he hits the door running. And literally, he just very energetic. And I told him one day, I said, "Listen, I don't mind you running, but I said, I don't want you to do something that would cause you to, I don't want you to trip. There's a lot of trip hazards around here. I don't want you hooking your foot on something and smashing into something that's sharp or just falling down. It's not worth, hurrying is not worth that much." But he is very, his energy level and his enthusiasm is somewhat contagious. And other people, one person said in the shop just recently, said, "If you can't find Toby, just pour a little oil on the floor and he just shows up. You know, you make a little spill and he's there to clean it up." And that's incredible. It's really incredible to have a young man like that. And I've told him many times how much I appreciate his enthusiasm for what he's doing. He's not doing something really highly technical, but he is very much puts his heart into it. And he's a blessing to me. I like his spirit, and I like others that'll do that too. Not that I don't like people that aren't quite as enthusiastic, but effort is really, seems like it's 90% of almost everything that we go about. It's just, sometimes we ask ourselves, and we might ask somebody else, did you try? Did you really try? Did you really put some effort into whatever it was? But there's so many times we're tempted to just do something that my mother told us about, old adage that I heard growing up, just giving something a lick and a promise. I tried. You know, we can allow ourselves, no matter how much enthusiasm we have, we can allow ourselves to be satisfied with trying. All right? So I want to take this verse in Ecclesiastes, that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Have some enthusiasm. Put your energy, put your strength into it. Put your desire into seeing that thing happen. Yes. But there's so many times that we feel content and satisfied that we tried. We can think that we've done all we could when we tried. Think about a verse over here in Mark, the 9th chapter. We'd like to turn there. And we'd like to look at it maybe from a little different perspective than we have in the past, or a lot of times it's looked at. Mark chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. He says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. So as Jesus came up to this particular setting, he noticed that there was a group of people surrounding his disciples. And if we left the chapel today and went to an intersection, and when we get close to it, we see a city police car with lights on and people out standing on the sidewalk and all of that, we know that there's some kind of pretty significant event that's taken place there. And that's kind of way it was with Jesus. He saw his disciples, people standing around, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What's going on here? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people... Anyway, I'll just stop right there. So the setting is, a man had a child, seems to be adolescent, maybe teenager, maybe a young adult, that had this reoccurring physical thing that happened to him, brought him to the disciples, and the disciples weren't able to get the end result. And the people, I'm assuming that there's quite a scene around this. Maybe this time when he had the seizure that Jesus witnessed, maybe it was the second one in a short period of time. But here's the thing. They came to the disciples, and they had tried. He said, the disciples, I brought them to them, and they weren't able to do it. And by inference here, I would say that they did something. I don't know what they did. They did something. I don't know. Did they anoint him with oil and put their hands on him and pray for him? We don't know exactly, but they did something. What kind of prayer did they pray? Did they pray a prayer of confidence? Did they pray a prayer of speculation? But they did something. That's the point. They made an effort. When they came, it seems like that their effort had been expended and they had stopped. And that's where I want us to start picking up on the challenge today. Many times we stop after we've made an effort because our goal has been, our what we're oriented to accomplish is to put effort into something. I'd like to point us to some people in the scripture that their efforts went beyond just making an effort. It was more than just an effort that they had. The first one I'd like to point out to us is a man by the name of Eliezer, son of Dodo. In 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, we might turn there. Read one verse because I don't want us to get all embedded in a story here for time's sake, but let's go to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and the 10th verse. And this is a list of, in this chapter, is a list of the mighty men of David. And it gets down here to verse 10, and he said, maybe we'll read verse 9. And it says, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. That's effort. Yes. You ever been tired? I've been tired. I remember one time in my career that we had a customer come in that, make a long story short, I was to replace an engine in a motorhome. I don't know how intimidating that sounds to you, but it's intimidating. And so I told them I can do it. They said we need to be on the road by, I don't remember what it was, Wednesday morning, let's say, or Thursday. I don't remember what the day was that they had to be on the road. And I said, we can do it. If we can get the parts here, I can make it happen. So come along sometime the day before the parts got there. But I had lots of other things they wanted me to do, and I worked all day long on everything but a motorhome. Come 4:30 in the afternoon, and I finally had it in there to start. I mean, it was almost quitting time. I pulled it in there, and we got started. It was one of those days in the summer that you're just drenched by 4 o'clock in the afternoon with perspiration. And I started on it, and the fellows that was everybody involved said, "Are you going to how late you going to work?" And I said, "Well, we're going to get this done." And I started on that. Everything went reasonably well, but it was a big job. And I didn't get done and back to my driveway till about 5:30 the next morning. I was exhausted. I was tired at 5 o'clock the day before, but I worked all night long on that thing. And it's because my orientation, my objective was that there was a goal. I wanted to get it done. This customer said, "I need to go in the morning." They was up pretty much all night with me. They went and got me food and were moral support from time to time. But I'm going to tell you, it was a long night. And I was completely tuckered out. I remember that experience. And I want to tell you something that happens when we go beyond effort. Something happens in our bodies. Something happens to our mind. I got home about 5:30 in the morning. It wasn't daylight yet. And I pulled up into the driveway and I thought, oh, if I could just lean back here and go to sleep. But I am so filthy, grimy, I want to take a shower. And I went inside and I took a shower and I tried to lay down. And my mind was going 100 miles an hour. I could not go to sleep. And in my process of wanting to shut down, my body had went into some other, and my mind had went into some other realm. I don't know how to describe this, but it was because I'd put so much effort into that, that it began to control me, if you will. I want us to try to get this picture. But it said this man had smoked the Philistines until his hand was weary. I was weary at quitting time the day before. And it said his hand clave unto the sword. What does that mean? That means he didn't turn loose. That means he stuck with, there was a goal here. The goal was not to slay X number of Philistines. The goal was not to, it's 5 o'clock, I've done all the fighting I need to do for today, I hang my sword up and go to the house. No, the goal was to be victorious. So I was thinking about our spiritual man and our efforts to be victorious. You know, it's so tempting to say, well, I tried. I read my Bible. I read it as much as anybody else does. And I prayed. And yes, I was in service. And, you know, you could read your Bible every day and pray every day and come to service every time the service is available, and you can still miss it. Because if you're just effort, well, I did. I did something, okay? But if there's something in our spirit that needs to be conquered, and we pray around it all the time, and we read around it all the time, and we don't really allow the Lord to help us get victory, we'll stop when we're weary. Instead, I want to challenge us to be goal-oriented. What's our goal? Put on a good face, a good front. I could say, well, after the service today, I could say, well, I made an effort, tried to challenge those folks and all of that. No, it's more than that. I want to put my heart in to living for the Lord until the result is there. Until my hand cleaves to the sword. Until it becomes such a second nature to me that I can't turn loose. If I couldn't go to sleep that day just because I wanted to. It was that what experience had consumed me. Some of y'all may have had some of those type of experiences before too. Another man that's probably more recognizable in the Old Testament is a man that said, his name is Job. Let's turn to Job and read a verse in Job, the 13th chapter. And notice that we could read several different places in the book of Job, I believe, but I'd like to read this one. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. He says here, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though he slay me, though I've put my effort into it, and it wasn't enough. Have you ever put effort into something and realized Well, it's somebody else's shift. They're going to have to take over. I've never worked a job that somebody followed behind me in another shift. Some of you may do that. It's always fell to me to finish what I started. And it's in my line of work. But Job said, though he slay me, though the task is more than effort will overcome, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn aside. He said, yet will I trust him. You ever been in those places? How did Job end up? With victory, didn't he? The scripture tells us that his latter end was better than his beginning. Did he go through some tough times? Yes, he did. Did he put some effort into it? I believe he did. I don't believe Job was the wealthiest man in the East, or that he had all of the respect because he just had sat down and not done anything. I think he put a lot of effort in. But the effort, it was when it came to the time that effort wouldn't take him any farther, he said, I'm going to still trust him. I'm not going to turn loose. I'm still going to hold on to that sword. Just because I'm tired. I heard a man say one time, a young person, and it troubled me then, and it troubles me. If I hear you say this, it's going to trouble me today. He said, we were kind of working together, not exactly, but kind of working together. And he said, I'm going to quit before I get tired. And I thought, I don't understand. What kind of perspective is this fella coming from? I mean, what is it? What did his parents teach him? A lot of questions come to my mind, but there's something better than that for us. And I want to challenge us to be goal-oriented today. Yes. Spiritually. When you're trying to gain understanding about how something works, or how to accomplish some task, maybe in your line of work, your occupation, don't give up. Don't let it, well, I tried. It's just too much for me. I think that's a cop-out. I think you need to stick with it. I think you need to have a goal. I'm not turning loose. I am, with the help of the Lord, I am. That's your secret. The Lord is willing to help you in every part of this. The Lord was there for Job. The Lord will be there for us. You know, the lady that wrote the poem Footsteps, you know, she expressed, well, there was a time it looked like, Lord, I was by myself. He said, oh, no. He said, that's not what it was. That's when I was carrying you. In our darkest time. And it looks like our best efforts fail, one song says. And friends reprove. We cannot allow effort to rule. Jacob, you remember what he said? He was wrestling what appeared to be an angel. It come to be almost daylight. I've wrestled with things in my mind, and I've wrestled with problems. You know, I remember a time a number of years ago that I had the transmission out of a little, some of y'all remember these cars, Chevrolet Celebrity. Y'all remember those? It was pretty new. First year they had an overdrive transmission. I had one out 5 times. To fix it. And the customer finally wrecked the car, and I breathed a sigh of relief. 5 times I had that car, that transmission out. You know, I was tired of taking that thing out. I'd get it fixed, I thought, and it would leave for a few days, and here it would come back. One problem and then a different one. What did Jacob say? Wrestling with the angel. I've never wrestled with another man all night long. My brother and I used to wrestle quite a bit, and then we got in trouble. But anyway, he wrestled with an angel till daylight, and the angel said, "Let me go. It's light. I got to go." He said, "I will not." His objective was not to win the wrestling match. It wasn't just to wrestle to daybreak, just some effort. He said, I'm not going to turn you loose until the goal is attained, until you bless me." He got a blessing, kind of a mixed blessing. Walked with a limp after that. I want us to be victorious in our soul. I want us to have a victory that'll take us through. I want us to reap the rewards of a goal and not just effort. I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate your energy that you've put into things, your temporal existence, your spiritual walk. But don't let anything deter you from a goal. From the goal, where are we headed? Heaven, isn't it? You want to go to heaven? Then don't just give it a lick and a promise and take your chances. I'm going to make it. Lord, help me. I'm not going to let anything get in my way. I'm going to make it. Jesus, he was an example of this, wasn't he? Let's turn to St. John, the 18th chapter. And notice what happened here. Jesus was on trial. John chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" That's kind of the rumor he had been given. Maybe it's the accusation that somebody had said, "This fellow says he's a king." Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" You know, Jesus came and put a lot of effort into preaching the kingdom of God. God put a lot of effort into preparing the way. Sent John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached that, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus come along, and there were those that witnessed his baptism, witnessed the Spirit of God coming down upon him. Jesus could have said, "Between me and God, we've done everything conceivably possible so these people would accept the plan of salvation. And now they're rejecting me, rejecting the very avenue of being redeemed." Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus, I think that he would have been very pleased if the majority of the Jews had accepted him. It would have been wonderful, wouldn't it? But they didn't. There was just a small handful that accepted him when he was alive. But his goal wasn't just that. It wasn't just effort-based. It was a goal. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's not the reason I come was not to set up an earthly kingdom. I came to provide a way where mankind, not just this generation, you know, if Jesus had felt like his efforts were not being worth it and he wasn't oriented to a goal, he could have got out of that. He said he could. He said he could call for angels to take him off the cross. If that had happened, where would I be today? Where would you be today? But it wasn't the effort that was his, what he was focused on. It was the goal. What's the goal? He said, "To this end I came, I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone is of the truth, heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" I can see Pilate throwing up his hands. What is truth? I've never been in a situation like this. I've condemned a lot of criminals, but I've never been in a place like this. What is truth? He said. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, "I find in him no fault at all. Though you have a custom, who do you want me to release? Well, whatever you do, don't give us Jesus back. We want him dead." And Jesus followed through for the sake of a goal. My burden this morning is that we'd be goal-oriented and not effort-gratified. You can feel gratified because you put some effort into something. You can be gratified to some extent because you've tried to please your boss. But Lord, help us to be goal-oriented. Help us to see the plan that God wants us to have. Help us to be focused on the eternal goal. Yes. I want to make it to heaven. It may be that I am tired of swinging the sword. It may be that I'm tired of wrestling. It may be that I'm tired of being rejected in this old world. Some of you have probably experienced things that I've never experienced. You maybe experienced hardships that I can't hardly fathom. But I want you to know that if we give up because we've put a lot of effort into our walk with the Lord, if we give up and say, "I tried and I just couldn't do it," I'm going to tell you, it's not going to turn out like we really want it to. I want us to be goal-oriented. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." Jacob said, "I won't let you go till you bless me." Jesus said, "To this end was I born. This is the reason I came." I'm glad that Jesus could see me, could see you. What would it be today if we couldn't cry out in the name of Jesus for redemption, for salvation? I want us to be goal-oriented in our walk with the Lord. I think it'd be good for us to be goal-oriented in our occupations, in our just our everyday life. I think it would be good. I don't want us to lose focus. What am I here for? I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I desire your prayers. I know what it's like to put a lot of effort in things and it not turn out like you want it to turn out. I know what it's like to face disappointment. I know what it's like to face rejection. I know what it's like to face some accusations. Maybe not like some of you, but I faced them. And I believe if we'll hold on to a goal, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to meet Him in peace. I want to be to find my place at the presence of the Lord. I believe He'll see us through. You pray for me.